The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I'm joined now by United States Senator Ted Cruz. Senator Cruz, good morning.
Hugh, good morning. Always good to be with you.
I want to lay what we call a little foundation here, Senator. Will you bear with me? You did your undergrad at Princeton. You went to Harvard Law School. You were on the Law Review, right?
I was.
Okay, and then you went to clerk. Where did you clerk?
I clerked on the Fourth Circuit for Judge Michael Luttig, and then clerked on the Supreme Court for Chief Justice Rehnquist.
Okay, so after you clerked, can you tell us what other job you held before you became a United States Senator?
Well, I was the Solicitor General of Texas, which is the chief lawyer for the state in front of the U.S. Supreme Court and all the state and federal appellate courts.
And so how many arguments did you have before the Supreme Court and how many arguments before federal courts of appeal?
Had 9 arguments before the Supreme Court, had over about 50 arguments before various courts, be it federal appellate courts or state Supreme Courts.
All right. And did you do a little teaching along the way of con law?
I did. I taught at the University of Texas Law School. I taught a class on U.S. Supreme Court litigation.
Now, the reason I raise this is I want to talk to you about the fundamental due process that will be, I hope, controlling the impeachment trial of the president. And I have made the point earlier today that fundamental due process, when I teach it, I refer to Justice Scalia's remarks about practices from time immemorial. And we do have certain fundamental due process requirements for this proceeding. Do we not, Senator?
Well, we certainly should, and I believe the Senate is going to respect them. The House did not. The House chose to basically toss due process out the window. The Senate, I'm confident, is going to do a lot better on that front.
I want to go to my conclusion and hear what you argue. First of all, I don't think there should be any witnesses because I do not think they have crossed a threshold of credibility. But if there are witnesses, I believe whoever is the first mover for a witness, you must allow the other side to have an answering witness. And if someone is the first mover for a witness, the other side must also be allowed to have a first mover for a witness. So you're going to end up with either 2 or 4, and that choice, as a minimum, has to be with the defense if the president is on trial. Do you agree with my assessment, Senator?
I think you're absolutely right that how the Senate conducts itself needs to be even-handed. It needs to be fair. It needs to give both sides a full opportunity to be heard. It needs to respect due process. As it concerns witnesses, I am open to the possibility of the Senate hearing witnesses, in particular because the way the House conducted itself, it was a one-sided show trial on the House side. They denied the minority the ability to call witnesses in the House. That was contrary to the precedents that were set with both the Clinton impeachment and the Nixon impeachment. House Democrats this time decided it was only going to be one-sided. They'd only bring prosecution witnesses. They wouldn't allow the White House to cross-examine them. And so it was entirely a one-sided deck of cards. In the Senate, if the president wants to call witnesses in his defense, I believe the Senate should let the president do that. If the Senate wants to call Hunter Biden, if the Senate wants to call the whistleblower, due process dictates that he have the opportunity to present his defense. And I think you are certainly right. That is even more so true if the Senate decides to allow the prosecution to call yet more witnesses. After all the witnesses they had in the House, they now want to call more witnesses. Well, I don't know if there are going to be 51 votes to do that or not, but at a minimum, what you just said I think is absolutely right, which is if the prosecution calls witnesses, the defense needs to be able to call at a minimum an equal number of witnesses, and witnesses of their choice, not the witnesses that Chuck Schumer wants the White House to call, but the witnesses the president wants the White House to call. And I think we will see the Senate follow the principles of due process and then conduct a fair trial. That's what our responsibility is.
Now, Senator, I want to belabor the point because I'm trying to explain this to Steelers fans and to Michigan fans. So we're going to go real slow. By first mover, I mean if the House managers, who are the prosecutors here, demand a witness and the Senate allows that, that witness will be John Bolton. And what you've just said is the president's defense team will be able to call a witness of their choosing, which I assume would be either the whistleblower or Hunter Biden. But I also believe that due process would oblige the Senate that if the House managers are granted the right to call a witness, if they're the first mover for a witness, that the president get the right to be the first mover for a second round. In other words, round for round. If you want a round, fine, but we get a round. And that would mean a minimum of two witnesses for the president. Democrats wouldn't have to answer, or the House managers wouldn't have to answer. Do you agree with my assessment? I'm just working off of fundamental fairness, the due process. You're not going to find this in the Senate rules as they exist currently, but I think you're going to find this tradition of one for one deeply embedded in our law.
Well, I do think that if we go down the road of witnesses, and by the way, I think the Senate is likely to resolve the question of whether witnesses are going to be called in about 2 weeks. I think the way we're going to proceed initially is that we'll proceed the same way the Clinton impeachment trial proceeded, which is we'll start with opening arguments from the House managers. We'll then move to opening arguments from the White House defense team, and we'll then move to questions from the senators. Now it's different from what some folks might expect in that under the Senate rules in impeachment, senators are not allowed to speak in open session. That means that you're not going to be seeing me going 15 rounds head-to-head with Elizabeth Warren arguing this on the floor of the Senate.
Much as we would like to see that. We would love to see that.
Ready. I would enjoy that very much, but instead, the way the questions are going to be handled, senators write their questions, submit them in writing, and then the Chief Justice asks the questions on our behalf. So it's a bit of an unusual process.
Now, Matt, can I pause for a second, Senator? If for example, John Bolton is somehow on the stand and somebody asks him, what did the president say to you about Ukraine? Is it your opinion that the Chief Justice will grant Ambassador Bolton as much time as he needs to set up that conversation? Because I think that's grabbing the sharp end of a knife if they start posing questions of John Bolton. They're going to end up with a lecture on how Crimea ended up in Russia under President Obama's watch if they ask that question. But just the hypothetical, if the Chief Justice poses a question.
I would certainly expect the Chief Justice to do everything possible to conduct a fair trial. Both you and I know Chief Justice Roberts very well. I think he's going to want people to have a reasonable time to answer. He's not going to want people just to be badgered. He's not going to be interested in a lot of gamesmanship. Now, that being said, I don't expect him to keep a tight hand on the reins controlling the trial, if for no other reason than this is a trial unlike any trial you or I have ever been a part of, because every question of law, every question of fact is ultimately decided by 51 senators. And so whatever the Chief Justice rules on any question, 51 senators can overrule him immediately. That is not the way it works in any other trial court. As a consequence, when the Bill Clinton impeachment was happening, the approach that Chief Justice Rehnquist took is on major contested issues, he simply deferred immediately to the body.
Now, without quoting anyone within your caucus, are you confident that the caucus is aware of the stakes for future presidents? In other words, this is a sham proceeding. It is unsupported by a meritorious inquiry that was in anywhere fair. It is it's a complete fraud on the American people and a threat to future presidents. The rules, I think, should reflect that. Do you believe your caucus is aware of the threat to future presidents posed by the procedures they adopt?
I think there are certainly a significant number of senators who are aware of that. I can't necessarily say everybody, but that has been an issue we have discussed at great length. And you are right that on the face of this, the articles of impeachment voted out by the House don't meet the bare thresholds. The Constitution sets the standard for impeachment. Impeachment of a president lies when the president has committed treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And on the face of it, these articles of impeachment do not allege treason, bribery, or other high crimes or misdemeanors. In fact, they don't allege any criminal conduct whatsoever. It's the first time in the history of our country a president has been impeached without an allegation of criminal conduct. They don't allege the president violated any criminal law. They don't even allege he violated any civil law. They don't so much as allege that he had a speeding ticket. And that ultimately, bringing impeachment in those circumstances with no underlying criminal conduct, is an abuse of power by the House Democrats. It is partisan, it is political, and it is not consistent with the threshold for impeachment set out in the Constitution. That's why I'm confident at the end of this proceeding, and as I said, we're going to conduct a fair proceeding. We'll let both sides present their case. But at the end of this proceeding, these claims are going to be thrown out because they fail to satisfy the constitutional standard for impeachment.
Now, Senator, there are a number of Republicans, and I don't want to exclude anyone, but John Cornyn is a former member of the Texas Supreme Court. Josh Hawley, clerk for the Chief Justice and was the Attorney General of Missouri. Mike Lee is a federal court clerk and clerk for Justice Alito. You've got Tom Cotton, who is not much of a lawyer, but a fine soldier, and he went to HLS. I can say that. And so I'm just curious, do the members of the caucus defer to those of you like you who've got 9 arguments before the Supreme Court and 50 courts of appeal argument and actually are deeply versed in these matters?
Well, look, I mean, every senator believes he or she knows what the Constitution says and has their own judgment. That being said, the Senate is a place where when you have a member that has a particular expertise, whether it is constitutional law or ag policy, those members with that expertise tend to lead. And this is certainly the case here where those of us who have had considerable background in these areas have been much more vocal internally, have been meeting with leadership, have been meeting with the White House, have been working on planning and strategy throughout this entire proceeding, and have also been playing a much more visible role publicly, going out, you know, going round around with the Chuck Todds of the world, going and trying to explain the underlying issues, because sadly the mainstream media is not going to do that. And so we've got to be out explaining what really is at stake here.
I want you to keep doing the Sunday shows, but a little inside baseball. When and if questions are posed by the Senate to the Chief Justice to be asked of a witness, has the leader indicated whether or not there is an order in which senators will be allowed to ask their questions? In other words, has he designated a leadoff hitter, a second batter, and a cleanup hitter, that sort of thing?
You know, that's a good question. The leader has not done that yet. I don't know if that will happen. We're having meetings continuing this week about how exactly the procedure will play out. There are only a few members of the Senate who were here for the Clinton impeachment. Most of us were not. And so questions like that we're still discussing. I'm not sure what the ordering will be.
So very last question. This is not a criminal proceeding. It is a Senate trial, and the rules are up to your majority, correct? 51
yes.
Votes set the rules.
Absolutely right.
Senator Ted Cruz, thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure.
Q, thank you. God bless.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.